Would you like to improve the quality of your thinking? Well, then you need to improve the quality of your writing. If you need proof, look no further than Frances Fry, an author, TED speaker, and professor at Harvard Business School. Clearly, she's an excellent thinker, but it doesn't happen by accident. Frances believes writing is the key to unlocking and improving our thinking, and she takes it seriously. She writes draft after draft after draft, continuously shedding flabby thinking until her presentations are lean, mean thought machines. And she didn't get here alone. All those drafts, and especially the ones written well after Frances thinks she's done, are mandated by her wife and fellow leadership expert, Anne Morris. Frances credits much of her success to Anne's attention to detail and dogged persistence, not just as a co-writer, but as an in-house mentor. So, what is the most valuable piece of advice Frances has received from her wife, Anne? My name is Dr. Amantha Imber. I'm an organisational psychologist and the founder of behavioural science consultancy Inventium, and this is How I Work, a show about how to help you do your best work. On today's My Favourite Tip episode, we go back to an interview from the past and I pick out my favourite tip from the interview. In today's show, I speak with Frances and Anne, and I asked Frances what the best career advice she has ever received would be.
Well, by far the best career advice I receive is from Anne. So I might, if I ever have disproportionate success, I get 24/7 of this. So it's there. But I'll tell you some of the things. I mean, Anne helped me understand the window mirror metaphor, and that to be other distracted. I had intuition about it, but she really helped me understand that. You met me at the trust. Anne and I worked on that talk. I happened to be the one that delivered it. So I would work overnight and she would work in the morning and then I would work overnight. And what I learned is that the purpose of a first draft is to be embarrassed by it by the second draft. I did not know that. And then I thought the first draft, okay, well, the second draft, let's pour liquid cement on that. And then she would do another and another and another. And it just blew my mind on that part. So it's the looking out the window of others, and that that writing is a really wonderful form of thinking. And I just always thought I was a bad writer, so I didn't participate in it very much. And it has just unleashed my ability to think and improved my ability to communicate, even though I still communicate with shapes more than words. Like in that TED talk, I had to draw shapes on the blackboard. But I think those two things really, the mirror and the revision of ideas, and that writing is a great form of thinking.
Love that. How about you, Anne?
I'm going to answer this as a category advice of advice. With the headline of "Don't believe everything you think," and I'll add a little texture to that. So I'm an authenticity wobbler, an empathy anchor, authenticity wobbler in our lexicon. When I was starting companies in a previous career, I spent a lot of time raising money from venture capitalists, a task at which I was terrible in the beginning. And back to our conversation about trust, you know, it is one of those conversations that is all about, I mean, particularly when you're raising money for a company that does not yet exist, you are asking people to jump off a cliff with you. And so if they don't trust you even a little bit, there is no way they're taking that leap. And so in the beginning, I would, you know, get up at the front of the room, and I was very distracted by the idea that I was a woman and I was young and I had never done this before and I was queer and I was in some rooms where no woman had been in except to like take a lunch order or deliver a, like I was so distracted by the surroundings. And as I tried to figure out what was going wrong, I kept misdiagnosing and kept, you know, it was confidence and swagger. And I just became more, there was more and more pretense, pretending to be the person at the front of the room that they wanted to see, when, which people can figure out very quick. The human animal can smell that one from, oh, well, anyway. So I figured out it was authenticity. One of the frameworks that was very helpful to me was the wonderful Byron Katie's Four Essential Questions. And the idea is to identify the thought. So the thought in that room might be, this is a room that doesn't value me. Right? So the first question on the list of essential questions is it true? And your answer is, of course it's true. The second question is it really true? She's assuming your answer to the first one is wrong. And in fact, it's never totally true. And then the questions get really fun, which is, they're like, well, could the opposite be true? Could it be that you don't value the people in the room, or you are undervaluing yourself? It's not that they're undervaluing you, it's that you're undervaluing you. And let's take a look at the data. Your name seems to be on the list. Like, you seem to be invited to stand up at the front of the room and take everyone's time. Somehow you've concluded that your voice is not being valued, and yet you are the only one speaking. Everyone is taking notes on what you're saying, right? So it's really fun. And then the last question is really the moment of liberation. And I think this idea of freedom is what is most motivating to me in this work. Like, can I help get people in touch with a sense of freedom that they have not been able to give themselves up to this point? But the moment of liberation is, well, who would you be if you weren't dragging this story around? And do you have the power to let it go? And what's on the other side of letting that story go? And it doesn't mean that there's no data to support your original story. And it doesn't mean that there's not someone in the room that's thinking, well, I'd really prefer a dude, you know, maybe, but that's not helpful to me. And that's not what everybody's thinking. And that guy may be easily persuaded once I actually say something useful, as opposed to getting stuck in my own head. And that, like, those are the sandboxes that are really fun. But for me, and that's part of the experimentation, is if I'm not willing to do that work in my own life, then I cannot be helpful in facilitating that kind of work for anybody else.
If you would like to listen to the rest of my chat with Anne and Frances, you can check out the link to the full episode in the show notes. If you're looking for more tips to improve the way that you work, I write a short fortnightly newsletter that contains three cool things that I've discovered that help me work better, ranging from software and gadgets that I'm loving through to interesting research findings. You can sign up for that at howiwork.co. That's howiwork.co. How I Work is produced by Inventium with production support from Dead Set Studios. And thank you to Martin Imber, who does the audio mix for every episode and makes everything sound so much better than it would have otherwise. See you next time.